You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada. At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca.
Just before we get started, everybody say hello to Mo Money. Mo Money is our little pet pork pig. Who says pork is not good for you? Hey, that just came to me that people say. So we are actually, I am and Carolyn, we are feeding Mo Money here. And at the end of the month, people have been asking, Pastor, when are you going to give away Mo Money? And so we're going to give Mo Money away the last Sunday of August. We are going to give Mo Money away. I'm going to pray for you in that particular service as well. But here's how you get to win Mo Money. People have already begun to submit either a paragraph or two paragraphs. That's the red one. There you go. So Mo Money is not going to be empty. We're going to keep feeding him. And here's what I want you to do. In order to win Mo Money, you need to submit a paragraph to info@allpeopleschurch.ca. info@allpeopleschurch.ca. If you're watching online, anywhere in the world, really, you can submit this. And here's what I want you to answer in your submission. If I were to give you the talents like Jesus gave to the three servants, and we're feeding Mo Money, he's getting fatter and fatter, how would you use that seed? If I were to give you seed, the Bible says he gives seed to the sower. So Carolyn and I have decided to seed into your life. And you know what's amazing? I thought about this morning. As much as we are giving this money as a seed, and as much as the money that we're putting in there is leaving our life, how many know that that money's never going to leave our lives? Because in reality, as I pour in seed to you, then I'm going to receive a harvest. We're going to receive a harvest. And then you pouring in the seed to someone else, and hopefully they will have the insight to pour the seed into someone else. And so we are constantly planting, and a harvest is going to continue. And so I want you to understand that what I have begun with Mo Money is a cycle that really never ends and always has a harvest back to our lives. That's the way the kingdom of God works. That's the way money is supposed to work. And that's the way money is multiplied to you. You know, you go to the store, you go to the grocery store and you buy apples. You don't buy an apple seed, you buy apples, but of those apples, they all came from a seed. You are buying multiple apples, if you will, but it all came from a seed. And so everything that you and I receive from God, whether it's money, whether it's gifting, whether it's anointing, whatever it may be, ministry, doesn't matter. It always comes in a seed form. And so your responsibility and my responsibility is to what? We plant that seed, we water that seed, we nourish that seed. And then at some place at the right time, we receive a harvest. How many know what I'm talking about? So we're doing this with finances because we want to pour into you, because I'm tired of hearing how the church always wants everybody's money. The pastor wants everybody's money. And so we are trying to flip that on its ear and actually investing in you so that you will invest in others and so that you will receive a harvest. And so I want to be like God. I want to provide seed to the sower. Notice he doesn't say seed to the eater. Right. Church, don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. You sow your seed, you eat the harvest. If you're going to eat seed, you're going to get hungry really, really quickly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So this morning as we look to the Word of God, just before I go into that, the media department here has prepared just some of the video clips from our last sermon. Just a couple of minutes, just these little video clips. I call it a collage. And I want you to listen to this little video clip, and then I'll get into the Word of God. I hid my talent, the money you gave me, because I was fearful. And when I began to study, I began to look at that. You know what I thought about? I began to think about Adam in the Garden of Eden, that when Adam failed in the garden, and you know the Bible tells us that every night in the cool of the evening, God would come and Adam and God would speak. They would have a scheduled meeting. And then the one day when Adam wasn't present,
And God called out to him. You actually find this in Genesis, if you're writing notes, which you should be, in Genesis 3:10, where God calls out to Adam. And here's what Adam says. He said, "I heard your voice." Remember, Adam, where are you? Where are you? We have a meeting. He said, "I heard your voice and I was afraid." Now, he was afraid because he had sinned, because he had done something wrong. And so there, Adam literally hid himself. In this particular case, the servant hid his money. Adam hid himself. And my friends, it is human nature. Listen to me. It is human nature that when we are doing the wrong thing, when we are on the wrong path, whether we're Christians or we're not Christians, our number one instinct, our human nature is to hide from God. They legalized marijuana. Or they're legalizing it. It's never going to be a problem for me. I'm just telling you right now, bring me the best marijuana, it's not going to be a problem for me. But why is it a problem? Do you know why? You know what concerns me? What concerns me is that people will use the marijuana to mask the real problem. In other words, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to get into any kind of addictive behavior? What's really the issue? What are you trying to numb? What are you trying to forget about? What are you trying to deal with? The marijuana is some kind of a self-medication to what? Help you deal with the real problem. And the people that really don't want to get any better don't want to deal with the real problem, because what? Then I got to address my fears. Listen to what the lazy servant said. Because, watch this, because I perceive you. Master, because I saw you as a hard man, but watch this. My perception of you, Master, is your life is easy. Things come to you easy. See? You reap where you did not sow. Things come easy to you, sir. So therefore, because I perceive you as your life being easy, therefore I took the easy way out. My friends, the way we perceive God has a huge factor in our stewardship.
Woo! Wow. Those things must be God. Honestly, I'm just not that smart, to be very honest with you. But there's a handout that you would have received, and we'll actually put this online for you as well. If you haven't received it, the service host will give it to you. But what this handout is about is I actually had gone out with some of my millionaire friends, multimillionaire friends from my previous life, my previous world. And while we were getting together, I said to them, "Listen, I know we're having dinner." I said, "But I'm doing a sermon series for my church. I love my people, and I want to interview you." And what I began to do is I began to interview them, ask them questions about finances, about, you know, success and what has made them successful. They listed a few books there that they recommend that you read, and some of the insights that they gave. Listen, take it to heart, listen to it, put it into place. It's an amazing thing how people think and operate, and I wanted to get it to you. So just so that you know, it's like wherever I am, I carry you in my heart. I always wanna find things, find people, find ways to improve you, multiply you, increase you. And so if you don't have that yet, on your way out, the service host will give you that. So anyway, let's get into the Word of God this morning. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There's four things you need to bring to every service. How many remember what they are? What's the number one thing you need to bring? Woo! Your Bible, yeah. What's the second thing you need to bring? Come on, show me your notebooks. Who has? Oh man, good people. Good people. Some of you. So I got to buy you a notebook? Is that what I got to do? What's the third thing you need to bring? A pen. And the fourth thing? Highlighter. All right, let's stand. Let's read the Word of God. Let's read the Word of God. I want to tie in this morning communion. I want to tie in money matters. And I want to go back to a portion of Scripture that Pastor Rick talked about kind of in passing when he talked about giving, forgiving, and thanksgiving. Let's all say that together. Say giving, forgiving, thanksgiving. And here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, these are the words of Jesus. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And those of you that came to Israel with me, you know that we were right there where Jesus taught this. Such a tremendous presence of the Lord, even today, is still there. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, your brother, your sister, a family member, somebody, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother or be reconciled to that person, and then come and offer your gift. Then he says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you that you will by no means get out of there till you have paid every last penny. May the Lord add his blessing and his presence to his word. You may be seated. Church, I want us to see some things here in the word of God as it comes to relationships and as it comes to finances and money. So here Jesus is giving this illustration. He's giving this principle that if you are coming to God to give a gift, a monetary gift, the Lord says, how many know that's a good thing? We're coming to give a gift to God. We're coming to worship. We're coming to honor. And then all of a sudden, the Lord takes this gift, this money, this finances, and he now begins to connect it to relationships that are here on the earth. So I want you to see that there's a relationship with God. That's why this individual is bringing the gift. But then the Lord is saying, that's not where it ends. That's not where it's just about. It's not just about bringing your gift, which is what? Which is a vertical relationship. But then he says, listen, there's something that horizontally has to be right as well. Kind of reminds us of the cross. There's something horizontally that needs to happen as well. And that's what? We need to be in right relationships here with the earth. Now, why should that matter? God, what do you care? If I'm bringing you my gift, what does it matter what's going on in my life? If you actually look at the context of this passage, the Lord is actually really talking a lot about conflict. He's talking about anger. He's talking about things that are unresolved. And where all those things are, my friends, there is always some element of either resentment or unforgiveness or bitterness that may be operating in your life and in my life. And what the Lord is trying to teach us here is he's saying, listen, this is going to have an impact. This is actually going to have an effect on your finances and your relationship with God, so much so that God here himself is saying, stop, stop. Stop right where you are. Stop at the altar. Leave your gift there. Don't even present it. Leave it there and go and take care of unresolved business that may be in your life. And so one of the first things I want you to see here is that our Father places a premium, or he places emphasis on conflict resolution. God wants us to resolve our conflicts, and I want you to notice that he uses money. He uses gifts to God to show the illustration to say, this is how important I believe this is, that I want you to stop what you're doing at the altar and go take care of conflicts that are occurring in your lives. How many know people that just seem to have a conflict everywhere they go? You ever notice those people? You put them in a circle, you put them in a crowd of people. They might be in a family, in a workplace, and all of a sudden, where there is no conflict, things might actually be at peace, and then all of a sudden, this individual arrives and all hell breaks loose. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they're employees, sometimes they're relatives, and all of a sudden, these people, they just seem to have a way of taking absolutely innocent things or saying things in the wrong way, and all of a sudden, something is fueled, people are fighting, people are taking sides, and you wonder, what just took place? I've heard of families having Christmas and having Easter. Pastor Rick was telling me his own brother one Christmas, his own brother, because he was following the Lord and all, he had brought some, at that time, he had brought some tapes for his sister-in-law, about the gospel, that his brother literally lost his mind, threw him out, threw his kids out, threw him out of the, you know, there's the family, the parents are there, literally threw him out of the house because of these tapes that he had brought to his wife. And just the chaos that you know, that happened. Now, later on, he was able to lead that brother to the Lord. But at that moment, all of a sudden, something that's just so innocent, boom, becomes so contentious. My friends, some people carry a spirit of conflict. They carry a spirit of division. They're not people that reconcile and unify families, if you will. They are dividers. They just bring division. They bring trouble. They bring conflict. And how many know, you know, we want to avoid those kind of people. We don't want those people around us. But you and I, Paul has given us something. You know, he wrote to the Corinthian church and he says that you and I have been given by God the ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of us, you've been given the ministry to reconcile people, to reconcile situations, to reconcile families. Many, many times, you know, my friends, I even see this where there's multiple friends, and I got to be careful what I say here because I'll you know, basically give away the guilty. But all of a sudden, it's like you're talking to one individual, and then they're trying to throw the other individual who's part of the circle and part of the friendship under the bus. Well, you know, they're like this or they're like that. And I'm like, listen, we're not talking about that person. We're talking about you and me. Why can't we talk about you and me without you deflecting to somebody else and throw somebody else and criticize them? Why don't we talk about you and me? But they have a way of just dividing people. They have a way of breaking people up. They have a way of separating and causing issues and problems. And I want you to know something about your Father. Your Father is a reconciler. This is why he sent Christ. This is why we celebrate communion. What did Jesus do? He reconciled us to the Father. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You want to be called a child of God? Then you need to be a peacemaker. Not a troublemaker. Come on now. But a peacemaker. One who brings the peace, one who brings the unity. And so the first thing we see here in relation to our money, in relation to our God, is that God is interested in there being reconciliation. And so, my friends, listen, so many times we give gifts to God, whether it's money, whether it's our time, our energy, our ministry, and then we wonder, why isn't there traction in my life? Why isn't there momentum? Lord, why aren't things happening? Could it be, my friends, that conflict, unforgiveness, resentment, people issues are actually causing a blockage in your life? Because we're not operating as kingdom people. What do kingdom people do? Kingdom people stop at the altar. To the best of their ability, they go make it right. And then they come back to God. And God says, I'm good with that. And God begins to release a blessing in our lives. See, in the world, you can be fake. You can be a facade. You can, you know, shake people's hand and, you know, pretend like you like them and even do business with them and be in all kinds of endeavors with them. But in your heart, there's a secret. In your heart, there's an ugliness. In your heart, there's some kind of resentment against that individual. But you see, you can hide it. But when you're in the kingdom, if you try to operate like that, then all of a sudden, the flow and the blessing of God is going to begin to stop. And so you could be giving and giving and giving, 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 giving to God, if you will. But there's a blockage going on. Why? Because there's conflict. I want you to notice the second thing we're here in this scripture. He says, agree, verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly. In other words, get things resolved. Conflicts are going to happen. Wherever there's people, there's going to be problems, there's going to be issues. But here's what the Lord says, be quick at resolving your conflicts. My friends, be quick at saying you're sorry. Be quick at taking responsibility. Be quick at creating solutions. Be quick to be the one to say, hey, let's not let this go on. Let's solve this. Don't let it be like a virus. Don't let it be like something that just continually is going on, that is getting worse and worse and is getting cancerous and cancerous and cancerous. And people begin to operate out of jealousy and they begin to operate out of insecurity and they never really want to deal with their issues. I know families that won't talk to each other for years and years. And now, you know, other members of the family have been born into the ward. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? And people don't even know what the original war was ever about. Nobody knows why. Hey, how come we don't speak to that side of the family? Well, let me tell you, in 1948, and the majority of the people weren't even born in 1948. And so what do? We get caught in the divisions. We get caught in the sides. We really don't know what really happened and what's really going on. But somehow we pick sides and we become part of the problem instead of becoming part of the solution. But if you're a minister of reconciliation, my friends, maybe it's your responsibility to make that difference in the workplace. Maybe it's your responsibility to make that difference in the family. Maybe that's why God has placed you there as a ligament in the body. What does a ligament do? It stops bones from grinding together. Huh? You ever have some personalities around you? How many know you don't get along with everybody? Huh? How many know some people grind? Is it just me? Or how many people, you got some people, they just grind on you? Huh? And you can't get rid of them because they might be in your family, or they might be, you know, they might be in church, or they might be in the workplace. And so you know what God does? God has these people called ligaments. And these ligaments are in the body of Christ. It's literally a buffer. It's literally an anointing that people carry. And these people get in the middle of the people that are like the bones that would grind on each other. And all of a sudden, when the ligament is in place, you know what happens? Those bones function correctly. Huh? Can you imagine if your elbow said, you know what, I've had it. I'm moving down to the knee. I can't stand it. I can't stand the arm. I'm not taking this. I mean, you'd be a freak. You'd be like, your elbow would be coming out of your leg, right? Your body would be all mumbled jumbled, and we laugh at that. But the reality is that's exactly how the body of Christ operates. I'm leaving. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not working with you. But you know what's, when I look at that, what I see is that there are ligaments that are maybe missing in that particular area of the body that acts as that cushion, that acts as that buffer that allows those joints to begin to move freely. Because we need the knee to operate properly. We need the elbow. I was talking to someone today, this morning, they were saying, oh, Pastor, I've had to put these braces on my knees, and I'm in so much pain. What's happening there? What's happening is the cartilage and the ligament isn't functioning as it should. And so bone begins to grind on bone. And what happens there is it's painful. And so people go, well, I'm out of here. But friends, that's not the answer. That's a very immature way of looking at, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Well, how many things are you going to quit? Where are you going to go? Eventually, you're going to run into people. And eventually, you're going to have to deal with these matters and these issues. So my friends, even as the Bible says, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Even as it says, deal with your conflicts. Do you know that even in the home, even amongst marriages, the Bible says if you fight, if there's conflict, your very prayers are hindered. Huh? We got the wife's in the basement. Husbands upstairs, they're praying to the same God, but they're praying against each other, you know? Go deal with that person. You go deal with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God's not answering those prayers. You know, I know we want to think that God is only on our side, but you know what God is? God is on the side that is right. God is on the side that is just. And so the Lord gives us a responsibility here, and he says, take that responsibility and do it quickly. Do you know today, people know, these are statistics, people no longer know how to communicate with each other, that literally people now fight over text messages. And then when they run out of words, they use emojis, you know, angry faces, and you know, listen, Candace is, I don't even want to look at Candace right now, because I'll just send emojis, and she knows exactly, I know what kind of mood he's in today. But you know what? It is actually the lowest level of communication. Text messages, emails, terrible. And I'm working on this myself. It is the lowest level, because people can't figure out your tone. They can't figure out where you're coming from. And then so many misunderstandings occur. And then all of a sudden, we have a filter system within us. And when we feel either disrespected or all of a sudden we feel that someone has belittled us, guess what we do? Instead of finding out what's really going on, we fire right back. And before you know it, a war is going on. But the reality is the majority of issues that occur are usually a misunderstanding. People go, I didn't mean to say that. That's not what I meant. Yeah, but that's not what I said. This is what I really meant to say. And my friends, listen, communication is so difficult that even when you're, how many notice, you're face-to-face with somebody, you're actually using words, even then, things can be misunderstood. One of the best things you can do in conflict is to say to the individual, this is what I'm hearing you say. Is this what I'm hearing you say? And have them respond to you many times and go, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, help me to understand. What is it you're saying? Because you and I have a filter system where we hear what we think we hear. Huh? Not what was said many times, because in reality, one of the skills that we lack is we lack the ability to listen. Because instead of listening, when you're in the heat of a battle, you're actually not listening. You're ready for the next rebuttal. In other words, you're arming your weaponry while they're talking. The moment they take a breath, you get in there, huh? You don't even respond to what they're saying. You're like, yeah, but let me tell you, bang in the face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And by the way, friends, this isn't just about spirituality. This is about emotional intelligence. This is about emotional intelligence that we will resolve our issues quickly, that it'll become in our heart even to want to resolve. I was saying in the earlier service, you know, some of us operate in a way we want to be angry. We want to be offended. I think some of us actually look for things to be offended at. You know what I'm talking about? Where there's not even an issue there. All of a sudden, we make an issue, mountain out of a molehill, right? People have this incredible talent to make something out of nothing. And then they're offended, and then they're wounded, and then they're so upset, and then it's, woe is me, and you got to feel sorry for me. And you're wondering, where did this even come from? Out of nothing. Out of nothing. Now, here's the question. Did God make you that way? Or is that a learned behavior? I'm going to get personal. Some of the married couples, something happens 3, 4, 5 days later. Nobody's talking to anybody. We give the other person the cold shoulder. And then rather than resolve issues, we kind of pretend to go back to it's normal and it's okay. And we try to begin to function again. But in reality now, it's like there's an elephant in the room. Everybody knows there's an issue, but nobody wants to say, hey, there's an elephant here. Oh, it's quiet in the church. Am I telling you the truth or what? And my friends, those are learned behaviors. Somebody taught us that. We learn it from somebody, here's what I want to encourage you. Instead of saying, well, this is the way I was always taught, Pastor. Well, who cares the way you were always taught? What is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching you? What is the new skills that you want to operate in? Everybody say, resolve your conflicts quickly. I want you to notice something. Conflicts, unforgiveness, resentment, all these things block your blessings. All these things, why, Pastor? Why? Because you and I are part of the kingdom. And what God is saying is, here's the way my kingdom operates. That if you want to be blessed to the best of your ability, you need to deal with conflicts in your life. My friends, you need to keep your heart pure. I was saying this morning here again, you know, some of us have not only learned behaviors, but some of us have personalities. I was fooling around with Ranjeev here a little bit, and I was saying, you know, I wanted to get one of those Velcro walls. You know what I'm talking about? And then they got these Velcro suits, and then you throw yourself against the wall, and then you hang there. Would you like to see Pastor just hang on a Velcro wall? Yeah, some of you would anyway. Yeah. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, some of us have personalities like that. We're like Velcro. Offenses stick to us. I love people. Honestly, I love being around people that are very even-tempered, that are very even-keeled, that have perspective. I have respect for certain people around me where I will go to them and I will say, now help me. Give me perspective on this issue. Help me to see this issue. Maybe I'm not seeing it right here. Here's the way I've seen it. I'm offended. I'm upset. I want to react. How do you see it? That's amazing. When people that are even-tempered, even-keeled, can come and give you perspective and say, well, you know what, Pastor? Maybe this is what that means. Or maybe this is what the person was attempting to do or say. And then all of a sudden, because of the grace that operates in their life that they're sharing with you, you make room for that person. Because how many know it's not always the way you see it? Anybody ever been wrong? Nobody in this room. I know we're all, you know, sometimes we're just wrong. And by the way, sometimes we don't mean to be wrong. It's just the way something came out. I remember one time we were having dinner and, I think I had offended one of the girls and I was a little bit harsh. And then Carolyn says to me, you know, you offended your daughter. I said, what are you talking about? I didn't offend anybody. You know, I had to say this and I'm right. And by the way, listen, church. Just because you're right in what you say doesn't mean you're right in your delivery. Huh? You might be 100% right, but 100% wrong in your tone and in your delivery. So she said, you know, you offended your daughter, and I think you owe your daughter an apology. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, I don't know anybody apology. I didn't do anything, and I'm right, and you know, and so. You know, I went up and I think it was, who knows, it could have been Annie, it could have been Emily, I don't even recall, but I remember going up there and saying, you know, did I offend you? Did Daddy offend you? Did Daddy upset you? I said, I don't see it. Your mother sees it. I don't see it, right? And then all of a sudden, it opened that communication. But we need somebody. You know, we call these blind spots. Sometimes we need trusted people, not only in our families. We need them in our ministry. We need them in our workplace where they can give us perspective on what's going on. Friends, listen. Most marriages fail because there is wrong perspective. We no longer give each other the benefit of the doubt. You know, we at weddings, we read 1 Corinthians there, the love chapter. You know, love thinks no evil. What does it mean? Love is giving the benefit of the doubt. Help me to understand what you were thinking, what you were doing there. Let me give you grace instead of passing judgment that says, this is what you meant to do. Unforgiveness. Resentment. Anger will block your blessing. And notice here, money given to God, this is Jesus is teaching this, right? Money given to God is unacceptable to him if there is unresolved conflict in your life. Now, friends, I want you to notice something about what Jesus said. Watch this. It's the gift giver. I got to be honest with you. This irritates me a little bit, so work with me. It's the gift giver that God puts the responsibility on. Huh? It's no. Where is the non-gift giver? It's like, say, God, listen, I'm here. I've got a gift. And I want to give you a gift. And you won't take my gift. Because the non-gift giver, who's not even here, has a problem. Watch this. You got to see this, church. Here's how the world works. The world works by saying, well, the non-gift giver is responsible. But in the kingdom, God says, I'm putting the responsibility on the gift giver. Well, that's not fair. Is it? Why? Why on the gift giver? Why? You ever find yourself, you know, I find myself where the Lord will come to you and say, you know, you go, you do this, you take initiative, you take the leadership, you make it right, you pick up the phone, you bring them out for coffee, you take them out for dinner. You know, you ever get to the point where it's like, why me?
Why are you picking on me? Is there anybody else you can pick on? Why do I have to? Why is it always me? Huh? Now, eventually, when you get a staff, you can send them. But initially, there's truth in that. Let me tell you, there's truth in that. But church, listen. Here's what came to me. Why does God put the responsibility on the gift giver? And here's what I want you to know. It's not out of duty. It always comes out of relationship. In other words, if I want to be close to God and I want to be like the Lord and I know that something is going to hurt my Father, then I'm going to do it because I want to be like my Father, because I love my Father, and because He wants me to resolve something. Watch this. Whether it's my fault or it's not my fault. Whether I'm responsible or I'm not responsible, if the Lord lays the responsibility on me, or if the Lord wants something done, by the way, sometimes it may not even be my conflict. Sometimes the Lord say, listen, I want you to go and resolve the conflict between those people. Well, Lord, that has nothing to do with me. But He's asking you to do it. Then we do it out of relationship. Listen. There are things that I do for Carolyn. Listen, there are things that Carolyn does for me. You don't want to do it. You don't like to do it. But all of a sudden, they'll just say to you, hey, you ever get this? Do it for me. Like, what do you say to that? You got to do it. It's a great card. Just go, oh, babe, do it for me. And it's what? It's out of that intimacy. It's out of that relationship that you do it. So my friends, listen, can I help you with something? If God is calling you to be that person, it's not a burden. It's actually a privilege. The Lord is entrusting you with something. Notice, as the gift giver, and I guarantee you that you will be blessed. Worship team, come on out. Let me give you the power of three. And then we're going to close and you can go home. I want you to close your Bibles right now. I'm going to give you the power of three really quickly. And now we're going to go home. I've got 4 minutes. Because I've heard I've been keeping you longer and Swiss Chalet called and they're upset. And so, anyway, I don't want you starving on a Sunday. But all right, quickly. Number one. Listen. Learn to let go of your offenses quickly. Friends, people are going to offend you. We are going to make mistakes. Passionate people make mistakes. I make mistakes. And usually when you make mistakes, they say the people you hurt the most are the people that are closest to you. You actually hurt the people that are doing the most for you because A, they're around you, and B, they're going to give you grace. But my friends, that doesn't mean you shouldn't apologize. People come into counseling and one of them will say, he can never say sorry. She can never say sorry. Why? Why? How hard is it to say, I'm sorry? How hard is it to say, I made a mistake and I'm going to make up for it? People will actually have more respect for you when you can apologize. You notice the world right now? I'm threatening you. You're threatening me. You got a nuclear bomb. I got 10 bombs. I'll blow you off. Great leadership. We're gonna go to really good places with everybody threatening everybody. I'm going to push the button. My button is bigger than yours. I got missiles. Like, great. It's going to end up really well. Let go of offenses quickly. Number two, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be in prayer. Pastor, about my conflicts? Yes. About your conflicts, about how to resolve your conflicts, how to touch the heart of that individual, how to make a difference. It might be your boss. It might be your supervisor. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows that person. Number three, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us that your gift makes room for you.
And everybody likes to make that a spiritual gift, but here's the truth. The word actually means you're present. One of the things that the Lord has taught me is that whenever, and I've taught this to my children, that wherever there has been conflicts or relationships that have begun to break down, one of the most powerful ways to restore relationships is to bring a gift. It's hard to bring a gift to somebody you resent. Unless it's a bomb. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a good gift. And by the way, maybe something that is important, something that you love. There's a pastor that I'm in relationship right now. Every time I go to his house, every time I stay there, I sleep there, every time I go to his house, I see this particular gift. Carolyn had bought it for me. It was a collector's item. It was something I wanted for a long time. Remember this, honey? And she gave it to me. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, if you want to keep this relationship, you need to sow that gift. I had to go to Carol and I say, honey, I know you bought this for me, but I need to release this because the Holy Spirit is telling me. And now we have an amazing relationship with that person. And every time I go there, there's the gift. Not only that, you know what I notice in his house? My picture in prominent places in his house. I guarantee you, I come to your house, I'm gonna find my picture. Candace has my picture, but she throws darts at it. It's a big, it's like, yeah, on Mondays. But you know what? That speaks, watch this, what happened there? Because the Lord said, in order to reserve this relationship and preserve it, you're going to have to give a gift here. And I remember one time dealing with that relationship. I was like, Lord, no, I'm right. I'm right. Why should I have to? And I'll never forget, as long as I live, I remember I was in a conference. I was sitting down and the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, do you want to be right or do you want to have relationship? Sometimes in order to have relationship, you got to give up your rights. You got to swallow your pride. You got to suck it up a little bit. That's what God asks of us. They say, I don't want to do that. Then you can't be like God. And you're not going to have relationship. But you'll be right. You'll be all by yourself. But you'll be right. You can argue with yourself. My friends, listen, so many people in this world, listen to me, they're going to die miserable and by themselves because they want it to be right. Your gift makes room for you. I can't tell you how many times, even in the workplace, people that I worked for that honestly, I couldn't stand, but I would give them a gift and it would release something supernatural in the atmosphere and it would make room for me. Watch this, not out of manipulation, but because you're obeying the word of God. So here's what I want us to do this morning. I'm finished, but here's what I want us to do. Come service host and put out the baskets. You'll notice I've been waiting right to the end of the service to put out the baskets to receive the tithes because we're going to honor what God says. And as the worship team sings, and as you come this morning, listen, or this afternoon, I want you to deal with conflicts. Maybe you're the one that caused the conflict. Maybe you're not. But when you come with your finances, your gift to God, ask the Lord, Lord, is my heart clean? Is my heart right? Is my offering and my gift acceptable to you? Are you going to release spiritual blessing to me? Or am I just going to drop money in the bucket and I'm going to have a blockage? Because listen, church, I don't want you to have blockages. Even when Candace was prophesying, the Lord says, I want to set your soul free today. You know, you ever hear that stuff? You go, from what? Some of the blockages and the spiritual viruses. My friends, listen, life is too short to spend that kind of time and that kind of energy. Let it go. Forgive and let God deal with it. Amen. I want you to stand And I want you to come this morning as you bring your tithe, as you bring your gift to God. Bring it with a heart of thanksgiving. Bring it with a heart of faith. But bring it with a free heart. And maybe, listen. Maybe as you're, and I brought my little piece of paper here somewhere. Where's my little, my tithe paper? Somewhere here. Somewhere here. Woo! Yee! Party! All right. As you, it must have fell in. It's okay. As you're bringing the envelope, maybe what you need to say is, Lord, as I'm bringing this envelope, I'm bringing this person. Thank you, Ranjeev. I'm bringing this person, and I'm releasing the envelope, and I'm releasing the person. Let him go today. Let him go. You will be blessed. Amen. Come on, church. Let's honor God.
While we hope you enjoyed this message, if you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.